Shalom, welcome to ASJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Harab Meir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, the people in our Hebrew movement in Israel came up with an idea, and we're going to try it. In addition to everything that we're doing on Facebook, we have a number of Facebook accounts. And in addition to everything that we're doing on YouTube, we have hundreds of YouTube accounts where we reach hundreds of thousands of people with our videos. In addition to all of that, we want something that will be independent of Facebook, YouTube, of these huge companies that can remove our page or that can decide they want to censor us. We want to be independent of these huge companies. Now, of course, we're going to have numerous pages and numerous accounts, so even if they remove one of our accounts, we'll be back up, as we are again on Facebook. We're back up on Facebook. We have several new accounts on Facebook. But we want something that's completely independent, that's entirely our site. And so what we're going to do, what we're going to try to do, I don't know how well it's going to work, but if it works, it could really be something. It could really be something that can make a big difference, God willing. We are going to take our main pages, the Hebrew main page and the English main page. It's going to take us several weeks to prepare this. It won't be ready for several weeks. But we're going to take our main pages, the Hebrew main page and the English main page, and we're going to turn them into news sites. The English main page, I don't know how active a news site that will be. That, I don't know. But the Hebrew main page, because we have such great people in our Israeli Hebrew movement, the Hebrew main page will be turned, God willing, into an active news site. That's our plan, at least. In other words, every day, Israeli Jews will be able to come to our Hebrew main page and see our videos and see our articles and see our commentary and vote in polls. That's our goal. We want to transform our Hebrew main page into an active, vibrant Hebrew news page. Now, there already are Hebrew news pages like this, independent Hebrew news pages like this in Israel. None of them are Kahanists, though. But there already are internet-based Hebrew news pages, daily news pages in Israel, and they get very large numbers of visitors. So if we could do this for our cause, for our movement, it could potentially turn into something big. I don't know how it's going to work yet. I don't know exactly what it's going to work. We don't even know technically exactly how we're going to set it up right now. Shlomo, our brilliant admin, is working on it. But we want to do it in a way where it is as user-friendly as possible, where people know that their legitimate views are not going to be censored, where they could come on and express themselves, and they're not going to be censored for expressing legitimate views, where people are going to be able to post. And people will be able to post, God willing, we're hoping, we're going to try it as an experiment. People will be able to post without even signing in. So people will be able to post on our site their views without having to go through the process of first becoming a member of the forum. This is what exists on newspaper sites in Israel and other Hebrew sites in Israel. And again, they get hundreds of thousands of visitors. Some of them have tens of thousands of visitors. Some of them have hundreds of thousands of visitors. Now, they have a multi-million dollar budget. We don't have a multi-million dollar budget. But we're hoping that our site will be more interesting than the other sites, and so that we'll still be able to grab a large chunk of visitors eventually. It'll take us some time to build it up. It's going to take us time to build it up, but we believe that we have a chance here. We have a chance to build something up and turn it into something that Israelis will want to turn to, where they know they won't get censored, where they know they're going to get uncompromising truth, and where they know that they're going to be able to post and participate and comment and learn a lot. So this may be a very, very interesting and exciting new project that we're starting. We want to do it in English as well. Again, I don't know in English how active it will be, because My main focus is going to be on the Hebrew, certainly in the beginning. But we want to do it in English as well, because there certainly are issues that we want to deal with in the United States, and we want something to augment what we have on our English language forum as well. So we want to operate news, daily news pages in English and in Hebrew, with a special emphasis on the Hebrew for the Israeli Jews, at least in the beginning. I think it's an exciting idea. I think that it possibly can succeed. Again, if it succeeds, remember, there are sites that are doing this now. I could rattle off the names of a dozen different sites. If people are not don't read and speak Hebrew, you wouldn't be familiar with them, but I could rattle off the names of a dozen sites now that do this. And I believe that the potential for us to get a lot of people exists. There is a potential. Remember, in 3.5 months, we got 27,000 members on our Facebook page in 3.5 months. So the potential is certainly there. And that's quite a bit, 27,000 members in 3.5 months. In a country the size of Israel, with only 6 million Jews in a small country like Israel, that's very impressive. So what if we could get that type of membership? Not on Facebook, but on our own page, where they can't censor us. It's on our own page, on our own servers. What if we could do that? That's the idea. And I think it's an exciting idea. Shlomo's working on it. Again, it'll probably take at least several weeks before we could have it up and running. And so we'll keep reporting on whatever progress we make. We'll keep reporting to our great JTFers. But I think it's an exciting idea, and I think it's an idea whose time has come. And again, if it works, it will be far better than what we were doing on Facebook, because we're not vulnerable to being censored and having it taken down just because people don't like what we're saying. So if it works, it will be far better. It will be far better. And of course, we're going to continue on Facebook, and we're going to continue on YouTube, and we're going to continue doing what we're doing on the other sites as well. In addition to that, and we're going to use Facebook and YouTube and the other sites to publicize this news page. So I think it's an exciting possibility, and it's something I'm looking forward to. And by the way, it's just one out of a number of projects that we're considering. This is what we're going to concentrate on for the next few weeks. But we're thinking of all types of projects that I believe have the potential to give us, to help us reach large numbers of people. Remember, we're filling in a vacuum because no one says what we say. No one says what we say. For example, as today, the day that I'm recording this Ask JTF show, there was a highly publicized wedding in Israel between Mahmoud Mansour, an Arab Muslim, who is a citizen of Israel and he's an Arab Muslim, and a Jewish girl named Moral, who converted to Islam. And all the self-hating Jews are saying, oh, this is so wonderful. An Arab Muslim is marrying a Jewish girl who converted to Islam. This is how you have coexistence. That's how we're going to have coexistence. We're going to have Jewish girls marrying Arab Muslims and converting to Islam. That's what the self-hating Jews view as an ideal example of Jewish coexistence. And they were outraged that groups like ours are against this intermarriage, are against this self-destruction, this destruction of the Jewish people. We are so important for the future of Israel. It is so essential that people hear our voice. There are so many Israeli Jews who are very upset about this and who wants a place to turn where they could have their voice heard, where they could organize, where they could make a difference. We have to become that address. It is so essential. There's no question that most Israeli Jews are very much against this marriage. Even though the whole Israeli news media is defending it, and all the Israeli politicians, and the president of Israel from the Likud party, Rubi Rivlin, Yemach Shmo Vezichro, may his name and memory be obliterated, this filthy swine. He defended it and said that he wishes them happiness, and we have to respect it, and they're having their wedding, and you have to respect it, and he wishes them happiness, and he blessed them. This is the president of a Jewish state promoting intermarriage, promoting marriage to an Arab Muslim who is part of a religion that preaches hatred against the Jewish people, that calls for the destruction of the Jewish people? And this, the president of the Jewish state, from the Likud party, which claims to be a right-wing party, what a phony party that is. He's defending this and blessing them? You see why it's so important that we grow and become a big movement? You see why it's so essential? And you see why Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud went after our Facebook page when they saw it was growing so quickly? You see why they panic when we do start reaching Israeli Jews with our message? They panic! Just like they panic when our great leader, Harabi Ir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik VeKadosh Libracha Hashem Yikom Damo, when our great leader, Rabbi Kahana, a blessed memory, was reaching Israeli Jews and getting hundreds of thousands wanted to support him. When this was happening, they panicked then. Because they know that if on a regular basis we can reach people with our message, we will become a mass movement. If we reach large numbers of Israeli Jews with our message on a regular basis, we will become a mass movement. We will change Jewish history. And they know it. And so they're terrified of it. They know that there's a complete disconnect between the Israeli leaders and the Israeli media and the Israeli Supreme Court and the Israeli judges and the Israeli so-called entertainment industry and all the Israeli elites and the Israeli billionaires and the Israeli multinational corporations, all the big elite people in politics, in the entertainment industry, in government. They take one stand, which is anti-Jewish, and the majority of Israeli Jews do not agree with them. Do not agree with them on most of these issues. And so the question is, how do you mobilize this majority? How do you get them to think straight and stop voting for the Likud and stop voting for these terrible people over and over again? Because they're convinced that they have no choice, that there's no one better. What are we going to do? This is what we've got. If we were there, they would have a better alternative. That's the key. So we're going to try this. We're going to try our own new Hebrew news page. Hopefully we'll also try, we'll also work on an English news page. But again, I can't promise you how active the English one is going to be. But the Hebrew one, we definitely want this Hebrew news page going. And we're going to try. We're going to see. Maybe this will give us the ability to independently, without fear of censorship from Facebook or YouTube or anyone else, will be able to move on this and reach large numbers of people. And again, all of this will be in addition to all the accounts that we have on Facebook and on YouTube and all the things that we're doing reaching people as of today. In addition to this. So I can't wait till we start and I can't wait till we try it out. I don't know how it's going to work. No promises. I don't know until we put it up. I don't know how it's going to work. And it'll probably take us time to build up numbers. I'm sure it's going to take us time. But we're going to try it. We're going to try it. If it does work, God willing, it could be something really big. And so we had this wedding in Israel today. And tens of thousands of Jewish girls are marrying Arab Muslims, are marrying black Africans, are marrying other non-Jews who come to Israel illegally and legally. Assimilation is raging because Jews in Israel are not getting a Jewish education or Jewish values. They're day and night, they're being lied to and brainwashed by their teachers, by their leaders, by the news media. Day and night, they're being lied to. And this is why it's so important that we be there to counteract the lies and to bring them the truth and to bring them a message of Jewish pride and Jewish survival and Jewish moral values, the truth from the Torah, from the Bible. In addition to that, it was reported today that many Arab businesses and employers are facing losses in Israel, in the land of Israel, because large numbers of Jews have stopped patronizing Arab businesses and employers. And I'm telling you, we played a major role in that. We reached hundreds of thousands of Jews. We had 27,000 members, and we reached hundreds of thousands of Jews with our message, and that was one of our main messages. Why are you giving your money to your enemies who want to destroy you? Arab Muslim businesses and employers are facing losses. Large numbers of Israeli Jews have stopped giving them business for now. Let's hope it doesn't go back with all the brainwashing and everything. Jews don't forget and decide to go back again, because that's what will happen if we're not around. If we're not around, Jews will go back to doing the bad things and the wrong things. That's what happens when you don't have, you have to have leaders. The average person does not figure it out themselves. It doesn't work that way, not among Jews, not among any people. We have to be there. We have to be there to explain to people why this is crazy. Why they should not be giving their money to these evil people, to their enemies. And if we're there, and if we could play a role in that, in convincing people, we can make a big difference. Because if the Arab businesses go out of business, and if the Arab, and if Arabs can't get jobs, and if Arabs are unable to function economically in the state, the more uncomfortable they are, the more of them, the more they will want to leave the Jewish state, and that's our goal. We want them to leave. We want to encourage them to leave. And you know, I have to mention that here in the United States, we had the Ferguson riots because this black criminal was shot to death by a police officer doing his job. And the whole media right away jumped on the story, and all the politicians and everybody else jumped on the story and said, he's an innocent black kid. He's an innocent black kid. Now we've all, you know, we see the tape, and I hope everybody on our forum has seen it, where he robs a convenience store. He robs them and assaults one of the workers there, pushes and assaults one of the workers there, gets violent and robs the convenience store. Then after he leaves the convenience store, the reason he was shot is because he was blocking traffic and he became a threat, and eventually became a threat to public order and a threat to that police officer. And so there are days and days and days of rioting and chaos and property destruction and people being injured. Days and days of this. And the news media is justifying it. And politicians are defending them. That animal Rand Paul, who is the candidate of the NAACP. Rand Paul, the candidate of the NAACP, the candidate of Al Sharpton, who is praising Rand Paul all the time now. You know, this is going to be the new marriage, Rand Paul and Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the NAACP, they're all praising Rand Paul. Because he's saying that this is a racist, it's a racist system, and the criminal justice system is racist, and everything is racist, and the court system is racist. It is racist. It's racist against whites. But Rand Paul is saying it's racist against blacks. He's saying you have to understand that what he calls African Americans understandably feel that they can't get any justice. And he goes on and on, and he wants to open the prisons and release hundreds of thousands of black drug dealers. He wants to legalize drugs and release hundreds of thousands of violent black drug dealers. He says these heroin dealers and cocaine dealers and crack dealers, it's a nonviolent crime selling poison to children in your communities and destroying your whole communities by selling them poison. He claims that's a nonviolent crime. That's a nonviolent crime? That's like murdering people. When you sell drugs to people, that's like committing mass murder. You're destroying these people, physically and in every other way. You're destroying their souls as well. But anyway, it's so essential that we be out there to tell the truth in America as well. I'm hoping that if we grow and become a big movement in Israel, we'll be able to become a big movement in America. And one other thing I want to comment on. I told you we were going to have a lot to speak about today, so I'm just going to comment on one other thing, and that's Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, being indicted. Now, I don't like Rick Perry. He's not very bright. He's not honest. He's a phony. And you know that we support Senator Ted Cruz, who is honest and who is brilliant and who's not a phony. But Rick Perry, who I don't like, nevertheless, he's the governor of Texas. He vetoed a budget for the local district attorney's office in Travis County. Travis County includes Austin, which is the capital of the state of Texas. And Rick Perry vetoed the budget because the district attorney there, this left-wing Democrat woman, Austin, by the way, and Travis County is very left-wing. It's not like the rest of Texas. It's super, super left-wing. It's like an island of the left in the middle of Texas. And so this district attorney here, she and all the other DAs in this left-wing county have repeatedly abused their power. They indict people for no reason. They all for political reasons. I mean, just blatantly abuse their power. And so she was arrested on a DWI charge, driving while under the influence. She had three times the blood alcohol level in her system that you're allowed to have under Texas law. She had triple the limit that you're allowed to have in your blood alcohol. And this is the woman who's in charge of the district attorney's office, and she's in charge of what's called the public integrity. I think it's Public Integrity Committee or something like that. This she's in charge of making sure that everybody, that all the public officials act properly when they're elected to office. And she indicts people if she claims they're not acting properly. She and the people in her office have created this so-called committee that looks after people and only runs after Republicans, of course, and only Republicans are people that they deem to be conservative. And so she's supposed to be watching over all the other people. She's supposed to be the watchdog over all the public officials to make sure they act properly, the way that they act, the way public officials are supposed to act, the way elected political leaders are supposed to act. And then she gets busted for driving under the influence with three times the blood alcohol level that's permitted. She then resists arrest and gets violent with the police officers and starts kicking the door and cursing and threatening the police officers who arrested her. And so Governor Rick Perry said she does not deserve to have an office funded by the taxpayers of Texas looking into so-called public integrity, or whatever they call it, the public integrity office, or whatever they call it. She has no integrity, and for her to be heading that office and sitting in judgment of all the other political leaders in Texas is ridiculous. So he said he wants her to resign, and if she doesn't resign, he said he's going to veto the budget for her office. They indicted him for vetoing the budget. They said, you're threatening to veto a budget unless she resigns. That's threatening her. But he has every right as governor to veto whatever he wants to veto in the budget. He has every right to demand that she resign and to say, I'm not going to support and fund the budget unless she resigns. He has every right to do it. In fact, he's obligated to do it. And he gets indicted for that? Two major felony counts he's indicted for? And he's indicted by her office in Travis County. You talk about politically motivated indictments. Even left-wing Democrats are saying that this is a joke. Even they're saying this is politically motivated. But you have the head of in Washington, the Democrat National Committee, and the head of the Democrat Party in Texas, they're saying, no, Rick Perry should resign because he vetoed this part of the budget. Unbelievable. They're saying he should resign. But Barack Hussein Obama shouldn't resign after all the executive orders that he's issuing like a damn dictator, and he shouldn't resign? He doesn't just veto things, which is a legitimate constitutional act. He issues executive orders bypassing the Congress and the courts like a dictator, like the head of a banana republic. And he shouldn't resign? And all the endless scandals in his administration, he uses the IRS to go after conservative organizations and Christian organizations and pro-Israel organizations. And he shouldn't resign using the IRS to go after people? And what he did in Obamacare? I mean, the endless scandals from this administration, from this corrupt, evil administration? He shouldn't... And Democrats are outraged when you suggest that he should be impeached or resign. They're outraged. How dare you suggest it? It's racist that you're suggesting it. But Rick Perry is indicted. And they're demanding he resign, and he's indicted for a legitimate veto of a part of a budget that he felt was being misused. And he, as governor, vetoed it, which he has every right to do under the Texas state constitution. This is what the country is coming to. And this is why we have to be there to point out the hypocrisy, the abuse, the dictatorial actions that are being taken. In Israel, this is happening for many years in Israel. And it's happening in America, too. And so we're going to try. We're going to try to create a daily news site in Hebrew. Hopefully we'll get an active one in English, too, eventually. That's going to take us several weeks, but I'll be reporting on you whatever progress we make. And in the meantime, of course, we're going to keep promoting our message. You know, I just did another video today on this marriage that I mentioned earlier of the Arab Muslim and the Jewish girl who converted to Islam. I just did another video today. I mean, it's essential that people see our videos, see our messages, and our videos are getting a lot of views. So, and I'm not talking about just on our YouTube accounts, I'm talking about on Facebook, YouTube. If you add it all up, our videos have been getting a lot of views. So, help us. Help us make a difference. It is essential that we be out there with this message. When you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, even if you don't speak Hebrew, when they're in Hebrew too, help us. Like, comment, and share those videos on Facebook. And like, comment, favorite, and mirror those videos on YouTube. You're helping us when you do that. Help us with our videos. Also, help us on the forum and with our Facebook pages. If you have good posts and good threads, that attracts people to our movement. And last but not least, if we had a decent-sized budget with the situation we have now in Israel, we'd become a mass movement almost overnight. We prove that. On Facebook, we prove that. This isn't just a theory. We've proven what we could do with a very limited budget. In 3.5 months, we got 27,000 Israeli Jews to sign on to us. And hundreds of thousands were visiting our page. And we're going to be reaching those people again, this time with our own independent page, God willing. But to do it successfully, we need as much support as we can get. Every check, every money order, every cash donation made out to our post office box makes a big difference. So please, checks, money orders, cash donations sent through the regular mail, very, very important. It makes a big difference. God bless the wonderful JTFers who are doing this. If you prefer, if you find it more convenient to do it online, you can do it online too. That's fine too. You can do it on our PayPal account. You just go to the donate button on the Hebrew main page. The Hebrew main page is hayamin.org, and there's a donate button there. And you click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can conveniently, through PayPal, make a contribution. Whether you do it through PayPal or whether you do it through the regular mail makes no difference to us. It helps in the same way, and you're really enabling us to reach more people when you do it. God bless, again, God bless the wonderful JTFers who have been helping us. All right, now let's get to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with the great Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what are your memories on the 40th anniversary of Richard Nixon resigning as president? Thanks, unquote. I remember very well when that happened in August 1974. I was 17 years old. And I remember the sense of despair that the country was going through. The country had gone through a terrible scandal, and we had the Arab oil crisis. The Arabs cut off oil to the United States, and there was the Arab oil crisis. America artificially has been dependent on Arab oil, even though it doesn't have to be. And we had long gas lines at the gas stations and double-digit inflation and a recession and high unemployment. And then this big scandal in Washington with Richard Nixon. The country was feeling a sense of despair, a real sense of despair. And then when Gerald Ford took over, he succeeded Nixon. He was a complete failure, and so they voted him out in 1976, elected Jimmy Carter, who was an even worse failure. If Ronald Reagan hadn't gotten elected in 1980, I don't know where this country would be. This country wouldn't be a superpower anymore. I think this country, in terms of its power, would have practically collapsed. I think Ronald Reagan resuscitated the country when he was elected in 1980. But you know, all the as bad as Watergate was, and Richard Nixon was a dishonest person, and he did break laws as president, and Watergate was a real scandal, and the cover-up was a real scandal. What Barack Hussein Obama has done and what Bill Clinton did as president are much worse. They had much worse scandals than Richard Nixon, but because the news media was on their side, they were able to get away with it. That's the outrage, and that's what we have to work to change. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld, and we now go to our great friend, Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dechaim, why do some Muslim men wear skull caps? Is this another thing they ripped off from the Jews?" Unquote. Of course, the Jews wear skull caps or wear a head covering because they want to make it clear, and they want to always feel that they're under God, that they know that someone is above them, that their creator is watching them, their creator is above them. And so they wear something out of respect. They wear on their head something to constantly remind themselves of that and to constantly show their devotion to the creator. And the Muslims obviously copied it from the Jews. Absolutely. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, your thoughts on helping Kurds," unquote. I think the United States should stay out of it, and Israel should certainly stay out of it. If Muslims are killing each other, let them fight their civil war. Once it becomes a threat, that's a different story. If they attack the United States or if they attack Israel, then there should be a response. But while they're killing each other, to intervene in order to end the civil war so that one side can take power and they could get strong enough to attack us, that's crazy. That's crazy. The United States should stay out. If American targets are attacked, then the United States, of course, should retaliate. And let's never forget, the number one threat is not ISIS and not Assad and not Hamas and not Hezbollah. The number one threat to America and Israel is the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program, which nobody is doing anything about. That's the number one threat. And that is going forward, and nobody's doing anything about that. Dr. Dan now writes, "Which generation most self-hating? A, pre-Pesach Hebrews who stayed in Egypt. B, pre-Babylon. C, pre-70 CE. D, today. E, other." It's not an easy choice. There have been a lot of self-hating generations, and you've cited some of them. There's no question about that. It's not an easy choice. My guess is, though, that today is the worst. I think that we really have hit the bottom of the barrel. The main enemies of Israel are the self-hating Jews. They're the ones that initiate Oslo, and they're the ones that initiate all the efforts. They start the Geneva Initiative and Oslo and all the efforts to destroy their own people. It comes from these self-hating Jews, or at least the really big ones, the real big successful ones. And then if non-Jews, non-Jewish anti-Semites like Barack Hussein Obama or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton decide to work to destroy Israel, their biggest supporters are Jews, are the wealthy and powerful and influential Jews in the news media in Hollywood, the Jewish billionaires. They're the first ones to support them. So I think the self-hatred in this generation actually exceeds the self-hatred we've had in other generations. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we now go, and by the way, Dr. Dan, that doesn't mean that we can't, that we're not going to solve the problem. We are going to solve the problem eventually. I think many Israeli Jews don't want this, and with proper education, if we reach them on a regular basis, I think we could counteract it, and I think we could defeat the self-hating Jews. And now let's go on to our great friend Mensch, who writes, and I quote, Israel has no manufacturing base to produce required quantities of conventional and smart ammunition. In every war, it was dependent on U.S., your solution, unquote. Well, first of all, I completely disagree with you. Israel produces 50% of her own her own weaponry by herself. For instance, Israel produces entirely in Israel 100% of the Merkava tank, which I think is the best tank, the best fighting tank in the world. The best tank ever created is the Merkava. And Israel produces that all by herself. When Israel gets American weaponry, like the F-16 jet fighters, for instance, Israel improves upon it tremendously. Israel creates all types of new technology for all the weaponry that she purchases from the United States. Now, the question is, can Israel produce that weaponry on her own? Of course she can. Who do you think produces most of the American weapons? Jews. Most of it is produced by Jewish brains and Jewish scientists. Who gave America nuclear bombs that made America the superpower that she is? The Manhattan Project. Almost 90% plus of the scientists involved in the Manhattan Project, which made America the world's first nuclear power and first atomic power, which made America the premier superpower. That was the event, the turning point that made America the premier superpower. It was Jews that gave them. It was Jews that did this and invented this. The Soviets stole this, and they also used Jews to steal the information from the United States and to create whatever they created. 50% of their scientists were Jews. If Jews can do this for America and for the Soviet Union, Israeli Jews can't do it for Israel? Of course they can. And please, let's not think that because Israel, it's true, Israel has a much smaller budget and is a much smaller country. So you say, well, they have a much smaller budget. With Jewish brains, they can overcome this. They can come up with inventions and create and with creativity that will deal with the issues, even if they have a smaller budget because they're a smaller country. They can do it. Jewish brains can do it. Israel is the place where we have the greatest concentration of Jewish brain power today in the world. But because of the socialist policies and the cowardly policies of Netanyahu and the Israeli governments, we are not unleashing Jewish genius and Jewish entrepreneurship and Jewish brain power. If we did that, Israel would be able to become self-sufficient, militarily, economically, and in every other way. Israel could do it. Israeli weapons would be more in demand than American weapons or weapons of any other country if Jewish brain power was fully unleashed. And then countries like India would want to purchase weapons from Israel. And so Israel can do it. There's no question they can do it. There's no question they can do it. Anyway, thank you. And by the way, when you say manufacturing base and the prior wars are outdated. Wars are fought now with advanced technology. Wars are fought with advanced technology today. What happened in prior wars, in many cases, is not relevant to today's situation. And if anybody can come up with the technological solutions to enable a good fighting Israeli army to defend Israel effectively, if anybody could come up with it, it's Jewish brains and Jewish scientists. If they didn't have socialist bureaucracy holding them down, and if they had all the incentives that we should be giving them to produce and to create, if we liberated them and liberated that Jewish brain power, I have no doubt that Israel would produce the most brilliant, ingenious, magnificent defense systems and weapon systems and offense systems imaginable. I have no doubt. Thank you, Mensch. And we now go to the great Lewinsky stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Tea Party candidates are losing because the whole country keeps moving to the left, including the GOP. About half of evangelicals under 35 are leftists. Explain how American Jews will go to the mat to defend the Rosenbergs. George Soros, Lewis Lerner, and Woody Allen always trotting out the anti-Semitism card for them, but don't say a single word for you, Jonathan Pollard, Robert Manning, or Harav Zatzal, unquote. Okay, you made 2 points here. The first point about the country moving to the left. The country is moving to the left because of the demographic changes. And there also are, there's no question that there's moral decay that's taking place, even among evangelicals, among the younger generation of evangelicals. There is moral decay taking place. Yes, that's true. That's true. We got to have uncompromising voices of truth. That's the only way. We don't have that today. We don't have that from anybody. We don't have effective, uncompromising voices of truth. This is where the Jews can be a light unto the nations. We could become a light unto the nations. If we became a big movement, we'd be a light unto the nations. We would not only be waking up our fellow Israeli Jews, but we were waking up the Gentiles, which is what a light unto the nations means, getting the Gentiles to also get their country in order and do the right thing for their country. I really believe that we could wake up a lot of people. But you got to have either us or somebody. You got to have somebody who's going to wake them up. I think Ted Cruz, if by some miracle he ever became president, and I don't know if he can. I don't know if America has so changed that a decent, moral person like him can't get elected. I don't know. But if he ever did become president, I think he would inspire. I think he would inspire a move to the right and would start perhaps putting America on the road to having a chance to be rescued and a chance to survive. So I don't think it's hopeless yet. I don't think it's hopeless. I agree with you. It doesn't look good in America. I agree with you. But I don't think it's hopeless yet. We're going to keep fighting. I don't think it's hopeless in America. And Lewinsky thinks, for Jews, I think it's hopeless. Jews should get out. But for the Gentiles in America, I don't think they should throw in the towel. And I know you're not advocating that. I don't think they should throw in the towel. I think that we still have a chance. Lewinsky thinks now writes, he also made a second point about why Jews always defend the Rosenbergs, George Soros, Lewis Lerner, Woody Allen. You know, and it's very true. If somebody criticizes George Soros, they accuse them of anti-Semitism. When George Soros is the biggest Nazi anti-Semite on the face of the earth, that pig, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, or Woody Allen, or Lewis Lerner, or the Rosenbergs. Absolutely, so true, so true. Then the Jews say anti-Semitism. But when these things are done to me, or Jonathan Pollard, or Rabbi Kahana, of course, then it's not anti-Semitism. You're right. Because Jews are nuts. Jews are nuts. And we're the national couch, Lewinsky thinks. We are a national couch for the Jewish people. But we got to get enough Jews to sit on that couch so we can straighten them out. And start talking common sense and start speaking to them about sanity. To make the Jews sane, there have to be voices of sanity explaining to them that there is another way, and giving them facts and giving them alternatives and explaining to them. That's the only way. That's the only way. Otherwise, this lunacy will continue and get worse and worse and worse. Remember, the prophet Isaiah said, mentions how terrible it is when someone turns light into darkness and darkness into light, and good into evil and evil into good. You know, that's the worst thing you can do. And that is what we have among the Jews and among the Gentiles today. And that's what we have to turn around. That's what we have to change. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, here is the hadith quote I was referring to, quote, do good and serve your mother, then your father, then the near relatives, then those who come after them. And it has this, part of hadith, quotes from two books, Bukhari and Muslim. Thoughts and comments, unquote. you mean they honor? You're asking me if Islam says you're supposed to honor your mother. You mean making her dress like she's wearing a tent in the brutal 120 degree desert heat, and cutting off her clitoris when she's 6 years old, and saying it's all right to beat her and murder her if she doesn't obey her husband. And saying that she is going to go to hell because women complain too much, that's an example of honoring your mother? There is no religion that is more anti-woman than Islam. It is a religion that despises women. It's a religion that breeds murder of women, rape of women. I mean, where else do you get a religion? In Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and these other countries, where the woman who is raped is guilty and is executed. You know how many thousands of Muslim women are slaughtered by their own families because they were raped? The family is ashamed that they were raped, as if they're guilty for being raped. The rapist goes free, but the woman is murdered for being raped. This is the most barbaric religion. The most barbaric religion on the face of the earth. The cruelest and most barbaric. Smash Islam now writes, P.S. Eulogy on... okay, there are three people here. Eulogy on Menachem Golan, Robin Williams, and Lauren Bacall. Menachem Golan was an Israeli filmmaker, and he made all types of films in Hebrew and in English. One film that he made in particular, a lot of things he did that I didn't like, but one film that he made in particular, which was really completely immoral, a terrible series, but it became very popular, and really I think it contributed to the moral decline of many Israeli Jews. It was called Eskimo Limon, Lemon Popsicle, Eskimo Limon. And it's a film that promotes selfishness and hedonism and decadence and cruelty and sadism and laughing at people when they're down and hedonism and just the cruelest, most disgusting behavior. And it was a series of films. Then there was one Eskimo Limon Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. They kept coming out with new ones. And I don't know how many there were altogether. But it was horrible. Horrible! And he was responsible for that film. So he did a lot of harm. He did a lot of terrible harm to Israel, even though he thought of himself as an Israeli patriot, but he was non-religious, had no Jewish values. It was like these secular Israelis who go to the army and they think they're fighting for Israel and so on and so forth, and they have no Jewish values. And no idea what, and they're Hebrew speaking Gentiles. They have no idea what Judaism demands of the Jewish people. And it's really an insult to the Gentiles to call them Hebrew speaking Gentiles. Because the Gentiles usually have more self-respect than they do and more common sense. So it's actually an insult to the Gentiles. The Gentiles that I know have much more common sense and much more self-respect. But he was typical of the terrible problem of secularized Israelis with no Jewish values, and he produced this series of films that was watched by most Israeli, especially most Israeli youth, and it really corrupted them. And the second person is Robin Williams. Okay. Now, I know that a lot of people feel sorry for him because of his depression and his alcoholism and his drug addiction. You know, and I wasn't happy to see him commit suicide. I wasn't happy to see him hang himself. But, first of all, suicide, of course, is not an answer. That for sure is true. I didn't like Robin Williams and his routines. And you're going to think I'm very old-fashioned here. But I don't like dirty, obscene, filthy language. I don't like someone with a filthy mouth using the F word every 3 seconds. Okay? And that's what he did. He used the F word, MF word, and all these other... I mean, the most foul language. Every sentence had three different obscenities in it. Now you may say, wow, Chaim, what are you kidding? You know how many years already? All the comics do this. I don't care. It's bad. It's wrong. It degrades our society and our morals. This is why we make a big deal about it on our forums. I don't want, and I'm the one that wants to, that really makes a big deal about this. I don't want dirtiness and filthiness. I know that there are people on our forums who maybe use dirty language, and of course I don't tell people what to do in their own personal lives. What you do in your own personal life, what you do, you want to use dirty language in your own personal life, you know, that's, I can't control that. But on the forum, I don't want our forum to be another example of where everybody just sees dirtiness and obscenity. I think it's bad. And he used dirtiness and obscenity and dirty thoughts and told dirty stories all the time. That was his whole shtick. That was his whole routine was filthy. And I didn't, and by the way, I never understood what was so funny about him. I never thought he was funny. And I have seen his routines. I saw him on Johnny Carson, and I saw him doing other routines. I saw him as a stand-up comic. I didn't go in person, but I've on video on YouTube, I saw him do stand-up comedy. And I didn't laugh once. I didn't think he was funny. To me, it's not funny. I don't know. I just didn't think he was funny. But anyway, I'm not saying I'm happy that what happened to him. It is sad, of course, but you know. I object to the fact that all these comics use filthy language and have a filthy mouth and filthy mind. Call me old-fashioned, call me whatever you want to call me. I don't think that that's good for society and good for the human soul. And now Lauren Bacall, you ask about. Well, Lauren Bacall, she's a horror. Oh, she is a pig. Her real name was Betty Persky, and she was related to Shimon Persky. Shimon Persky was the original name for Shimon Peres. Did you know they were cousins? Lauren Bacall and Shimon Peres. You know, Shimon Peres is the ultimate Jewish traitor, the worst self-hating Jewish traitor. Anyway, Lauren Bacall, in the 1940s, in 1945, she intermarries with Humphrey Bogart. In 1945, do you know what the percentage of American Jews were who intermarried? Maybe 2%. Maybe something like 2%. 98%, 97, 98% of American Jews married their fellow Jews in the 1940s. So, you know, she really went out of her way to set an example for assimilation and for evil behavior that goes against the laws of the Torah and the Bible, because the Bible says Jews are not allowed to do that. She marries Humphrey Bogart. She intermarries at a time when 97, 98% of the Jews were not doing that. So she was like a trailblazer for evil. Then Humphrey Bogart dies eventually in the 1950s. So she finds a second husband, Jason Robarts. Again, intermarrying. Again, marrying outside the Jewish faith. Both of her husbands, not Jewish. Outside the Jewish faith. That's the example she sets for the Jewish people. And all her life, she never did one good thing for the Jewish people that I know of. Not one solitary good thing. She was 89 years old when she died. She lived 89 years in this world. The things she did were usually rotten. Her whole life, she was a left-wing Democrat, a very left-wing Democrat. That's what she described herself as a liberal Democrat, campaigning for the Kennedys, campaigning for left-wing causes. So she had success and she had money and she used it for evil. She was a rotten person, through and through. That's my opinion of her, on her. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we now go to our friend Kyle, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what are your thoughts on Orthodoxy's idea that Muslims are Noahide? How can we call Allah the same God we worship?" Unquote. Kyle, I don't know where you get this from. Okay? I don't know any Orthodox rabbis who say that Muslims are Noahide. No one that I know of. And it's a lie. I mean, you're saying something that is just a lie. Harambam, Maimonides, said that Muhammad was a madman. Okay, that's Orthodox Judaism. Harambam is classic Orthodox Judaism. Harambam is Maimonides. And he said that Muhammad was a madman. He said we're not even allowed to have a dialogue with Muslims because there's nothing to dialogue about. They deny the legitimacy of our home Bible. The Harambam, Maimonides, said we can have a dialogue with the Christians because the Christians do recognize our Bible as divinely inspired. He said, but the Muslims say that everything the Jews did and everything the Christians did is all a lie. There's nothing. Harambam said there is nothing. There's nothing even to discuss with them because they deny the very foundation of anything we could possibly even discuss with them. It is completely false to say that. Bnei Noach are Gentiles who believe in the Torah. They don't want to convert, but they believe in the Torah and they believe Judaism is the true religion. They believe in the Jewish Bible. That's what Bnei Noach means. And they have commandments. They have at least seven commandments. People say the seven commandments of Bnei Noach, but they can actually observe more of them if they wish. But they have to have a minimum of seven that they have to observe. And they must support, as people believe in the Torah, they must support Israel and the Jewish people. How could Muslims who want to destroy Israel and the Jewish people and who are massacring Jews and want to exterminate the Jews, how could they possibly be called Noahites? How is that possible? I mean, it's absurd. So there's no serious person in Orthodoxy, in real Judaism, in genuine Judaism, who would make a statement like that. None. Okay, and thank you, Kyle. And now we go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, 1, were you ever afraid that Pastor Manning might think you were racist? 2, does he think your affirmative action stories are funny? Unquote. No, I never thought that because I've seen Pastor Manning's videos. And whatever I have said in regard to blacks, and I'm talking about evil black people, whatever I've said is mild compared to what Pastor Manning has said about them. Pastor Manning calls them niggers in his videos. Pastor Manning has gone much further than I ever went. So no, I wasn't concerned about that. I don't know how many of the affirmative action stories he's heard. I know at least one that he heard and he laughed when he heard it. The mutual friend of mine and a Pastor Manning's told him at least one of the things that we said about Jesse Jackson. And he, you know, I very strongly attacked Jesse Jackson and he was laughing. He thought it was hilarious. Anyway, thank you, Binyamin. And we go now to our great friend, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, a Jewish acquaintance of mine says that the Democratic Party platform aligns more closely with Torah values. Tell me how he's wrong, unquote. Oh, man. What a crazy world we live in. You mean creating a Palestine state in the heartland of biblical Israel aligns with Torah values? Tearing away from the Jewish people their biblical homeland and getting Israel to commit national suicide and go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide, setting up Israel for a Holocaust, that aligns with Torah values? That's the Democratic Party platform. That Israel has to surrender Judea and Samaria and her biblical heartland and go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide. That aligns with Torah values? Homosexual marriage aligns with Torah values? The Torah says that that homosexuality is an abomination. The Torah says that if someone insists upon continuing to engage in that behavior, they're supposed to be stoned to death. Is that what it says in the Democrat platform? Abortion? Murdering little babies as a birth control device, that aligns with Torah values? Murdering tens of millions of babies as a form of birth control? You know how many, you know, the tens of millions of babies have been slaughtered in the United States since the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision by the evil Supreme Court? That aligns with Torah values? booing Israel at the Democrat convention, refusing to put the word Israel or Jerusalem or God into the Democrat platform, and then finally putting it in at the last minute because the Republicans were attacking them for it, and then when they put it in, the convention booed. They booed the mention of Jerusalem. They booed the mention of God. That aligns with Torah values? The Democrat Party is pure evil. And the self-hating Jews who support the Democrat Party are evil. That's Torah values. Understanding that is understanding Torah values. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, "Bless pro-homo and pislam, Rabbi," quote-unquote, "Shmuley Yanklowitz." What kind of Orthodox is he? What can Jews do to... Oh, okay, that's second point. Let's deal with this first. Oh, he is the scum of the earth. He's a left-wing animal. He's the scum of the earth. Well, first of all, he received his smicha. Smicha is the rabbinic ordinations. He received his so-called smicha from Shlomo Riskin. So what do you expect? Shlomo Riskin's the so-called chief rabbi of Efrat. This animal favors surrendering Judea and Samaria, except for Efrat, except for the community he lives in. He was willing to surrender everything except his own personal community. That's what he advocates, this selfish swine. I mean, he is the lowest, Shlomo Riskin is the lowest self-hating traitor you can possibly find. This is Shlomo Riskin, the chief so-called rabbi of Efrat, and shame on the people of Efrat that they allow this animal to remain the so-called chief rabbi there. Shame on them. This animal, Shlomo Riskin, raises huge amounts of money for Arab Jew haters, to help the Arabs, to help the enemies of Israel, to make them more comfortable so they'll stay in Israel and breed and take over and become a majority. And will encourage other Arabs from the Arab world to come flooding into Israel. That's Shlomo Riskin. He's the one that gave this pig his so-called smicha. Now, Yanklowitz, I mean, he supports every left-wing cause, supports homosexual marriage. I mean, this is someone who calls himself a rabbi, and he supports homosexual marriage. Supports amnesty for illegal aliens. Supports freeing black... He supports freeing black, violent black criminals. In other words, every enemy of the Jewish people, everything that's bad for Jews, he's in favor of. If it's bad for Jews, he supports it. If it's good for Jews, he's against it. Everything evil, he supports. Yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. Thank you, LKZ. Oh, no, I'm sorry. LKZ has another question. What can Jews do to survive now that it's sure Arabs will tunnel in, unquote? Join us, LKZ. If all these Jews would join our movement and we were a mass movement, I assure you, we would change the situation. If we were a mass movement, the politicians would be on the run in Israel. And I assure you, policies would change drastically. Drastically. We'd move the whole country drastically to the right. That I can guarantee if we become a mass movement. Jews should join us and promote us and tell the truth and wake the people of Israel up. That's what they have to do. Thank you, LKZ. And we now go to... our great friend Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "What do you think will happen with ISIS next? Who do you think they will attack next? What do you expect them? Would you expect them to fight Israel or Iran first?" Unquote. Well, I think that they have their hands full right now. I don't think that they can. I don't think they're capable of going after Israel or Iran right now. They're fighting in two countries, in Syria and in Iraq, right now. Now it's true that eventually they want to expand. But right now they're fighting civil wars in Syria and in Iraq. And I have a feeling they're going to be bogged down there for a while because the United States now is bombing them in Iraq. So they're not going to have an easy time. Now, if they ever took over Syria, for instance, then Israel has them on the northern border. Israel has that threat on the northern border. But right now, they're bogged down in these two civil wars in Iraq and in Syria. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And we now go to our great friend Kalman ben Menachem, Reb Chaim. If a Jew who intermarries is karet, is the child of a Jewish woman who intermarries halachically Jewish, thank you, unquote. Yes. It's a good question, because if she's karet, then you're saying, well, she's cut off from the Jewish people, so how could the child be Jewish? She's not Jewish anymore. The attitude, the rabbis of our day have ruled that the child of a Jewish woman, even when she intermarries, is Jewish. That's the ruling. Whether or not she's karet, you know, she may not be karet in this world. She may just be karet in the next world. There is a concept of, karet is a concept of the next world. She's cut off in the next world. And I know that sounds, maybe it sounds complicated, but, and it is to a certain extent complicated, but in Judaism there is karet in the next world. But still, for all practical purposes, her children in this world are Jewish. But that's the way the rabbis of our day have made their rulings. They have ruled that the children with Jewish mother, if a child has a Jewish mother, that child is Jewish. Even if the woman is going to be punished in the next world, nevertheless, her children are Jewish. Thank you, Kalman. And we now go to our great friend, South Serbian, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, Brother Chaim. First, I need to distance myself from those Serbs who support Russia that committed crimes against Jews and others, not only today, but in the past centuries, and still continues to do that. I can support only righteous people in any country, including Russia. I believe closest Serbian ally should be Israel for moral reasons above all. My first question is, what do you think of Gentiles who believe in the Torah and Tanakh only and live according to it, and don't believe in Christ and New Testament? So I'm not talking about B'nai Noach, Christians or converts to Orthodox Judaism. I'm talking about Gentiles, followers only of Tanakh. What is Jewish view of these people, considering their role in this world and place in this world, to place in the world to come, comparing to Jewish place in the next world? Unquote. Okay. Gentiles who believe in the Tanakh are B'nai Noach. If they believe in the Tanakh and if they follow at least seven commandments, seven basic fundamental commandments, then they are B'nai Noach. That is the definition of B'nai Noach. B'nai Noach are basically Gentiles who believe in Judaism but don't want to go through the process of converting for all types of reasons. They feel converting is too much for them. Actually, converting to Judaism is too much, or they don't want to convert for various reasons. But they do believe in Torah Judaism, in Biblical Judaism. That's the definition of B'nai Noach. B'nai Noach will have a place in the next world, according to Judaism. Gentiles who believe in the Tanakh and the Torah, and who follow the seven commandments, will have eternal life in the next world, just as Jews who follow the laws will have eternal life in the next world, and Jews who are evil won't. Evil Jews and evil Gentiles will not have eternal life according to Judaism, and righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles will. And South Serbian now writes, my second question is, what do you think of Karaite Jews? Thank you and God bless Chaim. Unquote. Karaite Jews are not Jews. I mean, if a Jew adopts this cult, becomes part of this cult, they're leaving the Jewish people. Because they reject, we have Torah Shebe'al Peh, which means the oral Torah, and Torah Shebichtav, which means the written Torah. You can't understand the written Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible with the 613 commandments. You can't understand it unless you have the oral Torah to explain it to you. The Midrash and the Talmud unless you have that to explain it to you, you can't. There's no way you could understand the hundreds of commandments and the meaning of those commandments and the meaning of what we're supposed to do and the holidays and all the things was and the prayers and everything we're supposed to be doing and all the dietary laws. You cannot possibly understand that without the oral law. And the Karaite Jews reject the oral law. And so they're not. That's not Judaism. That's a cult, and it's not Judaism. Thank you, South Serbian. And we now go to our great friend, Russian Leo777, who writes, and I quote, "Please talk about the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, another violent black criminal off the streets. Good riddance," unquote. Russian Leo, you read my mind. I did speak about this in my opening. The riots are an outrage. Of course, this was a violent black criminal. You're absolutely right. He robbed a convenience store and violently attacked and assaulted a worker in that convenience store. Then he went out and started blocking traffic in the middle of the street. And the police officer felt threatened. And the police officer decided to defend himself. The police officer was doing his job. This was a vicious, violent black criminal. And it's an outrage that that the whole country now has to bow down to these people now because some violent black criminal was killed. The fact is, 99% of blacks who are killed in this country are killed by other blacks. And that's just the reality. I don't know if it's 99%, but it's well over 90%, that's for sure. Are not killed by white people. Very few blacks are killed by white people. Very, very few. But you have this situation, and the reason you have this situation is because these people rioting, they want to basically say that the police should allow them to be criminals, should allow them to rob and steal and do whatever they want to do and not go and basically give them a license to do anything they want and control the streets and attack anyone they want to attack. That's basically what they really want. And we're getting to a point where they're going to get that. Unless people fight back, we're getting to a point where they're going to wind up getting what they want, that's the end of the United States if that happens. Thank you, Russian Leo. And we go now to Tzelhar, who is also active on our Hebrew forum. Tzelhar writes, and I quote, "Could secular and atheist Jews feel at home in Israel under idyllic Kahanist rule? Will Judaism ever be force-fed to the people who aren't into it?" Unquote. Well, we do not intend to force secular Jews to observe the mitzvot of the Torah, Tzelhar. What we will do is we want them to learn what the mitzvot are. We want that to be part of the educational curriculum in school. That we do demand. We demand that people learn their heritage. We think that Jews in a Jewish state have to learn their heritage and learn their religion and learn their traditions. Just learn what it says. But we can't force them to follow it. But children in school learn about all types of nonsense and all types of garbage. They should be learning what their religion and what their tradition teaches them. They should be learning that. And I don't mean the silly so-called Bible studies that you have now. I'm talking about really learning from someone who believes in the Torah. It should be a Torah true Jew, should be the teacher, and they should be learning what the Torah says. And then if they want to observe it, they don't want to observe it, that's up to them. Our government is not going to come in and force them to observe it. But it will be another subject in school. Will secular Jews feel at home in Israel? They're going to have another course in school that they have to pass on Torah. They're going to have to learn about Torah Judaism. I believe that many more Jews will become religious because of that. I think it will. Many Jews will be, once they learn about it, I think many Jews will want to become religious. So you're just going to have a much more Jewish atmosphere in Israel. The atmosphere will be more Jewish. There's going to be much more Jewish feeling and respect for Jewish tradition and Jewish law and Jewish scholarship and Torah scholarship. And I guess there are secular Jews who may even like that. They may be happy that their children, for instance, when they go to school, are getting a Jewish education. and that their and their children will be better behaved, and their children will be more respectful, and their children will be more moral. I think in that respect, I think many secular parents, I think they'll actually wind up being pleased. There will be others, though, who are anti-religious. If someone is anti-religious and someone hates Judaism, then they're not going to be happy. It depends on their attitude. Depends on their attitude. But we're not going to force them to observe Judaism. We're not going to force anybody. Thank you, Tzelhar. And we now go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, during the war with Hamas, do you think that Haaretz and others from the real Israeli left finally realized that BHO is trying to undermine Israel, unquote? BHO meaning Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, of course they knew all along that Obama's against Israel. EB, Haaretz is anti-Israel. These are Jewish anti-Semites. They hate Israel. They hate Israel. Do you know that the writers for Haaretz, EB, were saying that Israeli soldiers are barbarians and called them murderers and barbarians? I mean, these are the Jewish anti-Semites. And they are actually more attracted to Obama because he's an anti-Semite. These Jews, these self-hating Jews on the left in Israel, when Ted Cruz makes statements that are pro-Israel, or Mike Huckabee makes statements that are pro-Israel, they hate them for that. They hate listening to that. They hate hearing that. That's how sick they are. If a Gentile, a righteous Gentile like Ted Cruz wants to support Israel, a righteous Gentile like Mike Huckabee, these self-hating Jews, these self-hating Jews on the left are the first ones to attack and the first ones to do everything in their power to stop a good pro-Israel Gentile from getting elected. So, yeah, of course they know Obama's anti-Israel. They know Obama loves the Muslims and is anti-Israel. That's one of the reasons why they like him. Thank you, EB. And we now go to our great friend, Secular Believer, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, Robin Williams. I am disappointed to learn that he cowardly killed himself over learning he had Parkinson's disease. I have it too, unquote. I agree with you, Secular Believer. This, you know, suicide is certainly not the answer. And I know a lot of people. I've known a lot of people who have Parkinson's disease. And Secular Believer, I remember when I was a kid watching Dr. William Pearl, who was the head of the Washington JDL. He had Parkinson's disease when we didn't have the research and we didn't have the ways of helping people that we have today. I mean, they have done a lot of research. There is no cure. It's true, there's no cure. But they have made progress and done a lot of research. And in the old days, there was nothing. I mean, there was just nothing you could do about it at all. Nowadays, they do know ways, at least they've done a lot of research, and there are certain things that they claim can mitigate the severity of the disease. And I believe the day will come when there'll be a cure. He was very, very wealthy and very incredibly successful, so he could have had the best medical care and the best of everything. So if anybody would have been able to get through this, it would have been him. I don't think it was just the Parkinson's disease. I think it was just everything in his life. He was just a person that went through severe depression. For many years he was an alcoholic, and for many years he was a drug addict, and he went through severe depression, and he went through all types of substance abuse, and in the end, he decided he didn't want to live anymore. He was 63 years old. He could have lived many more years. He didn't want to. Even though God gave him money and success and fame and fans and people loved him, he could have done good things in the world, but that didn't impress him. He didn't want to. Thank you, Secular Believer. And we now go to the great Irish Zionist, who writes, and I quote, an Irish Zionist has done so much to help us. Ira Zionist is a true hero. He has done so much to help our movement. Over the years, he's done so much to help us. Ira Zionist writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, would you support Moshe Feiglin for prime minister? Why is he still in Likud with that coward Pipi? God bless you and your loved ones, Brian, unquote. I don't know, Ira Zionist, I don't know. There are things Moshe Feiglin stands for that I like. He does say that Arabs should be offered compensation to leave. He's the only member of the Knesset saying that now. He does go up to the Temple Mount and tries to pray there. He does a lot of things that I like, but he also condemned the kids who were arrested for killing that Arab Mohammed Abu Khadir as retaliation for the murder of the three kidnapped Israeli teenagers. He right away condemned these kids, and he said we have to enforce the law to the fullest extent of the law. This was a terrible act. You know, I didn't think that was appropriate. So there are things he does that I'm uncomfortable with. He favors the legalization of marijuana, which I disagree with. I think legalizing drugs is the worst thing that we could do. I think it will encourage more drug use, and I think that's the last thing we need in the Holy Land is people using drugs. So there are things he stands for that I like, and there are things he stands for that I don't like. I don't know. I'm not sure if I could support him. Ira Zionist also wants to know, why is he still in the Likud? He's still in the Likud because he thinks he can take over the Likud. He thinks he's going to be able to take over and replace Pipi. I disagree with him. I disagree. I think it's a big mistake to be in the Likud. And I don't think the Likud will ever allow him to become the leader of the party. So we'll see what he does. We'll see what he does. I certainly am not going to support the Likud. It is possible if he ran as an independent, I don't know what I would do. If he ever decides to leave the Likud, which is possible, if he ever decides to leave and become an independent, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. It would be a tough decision to make because, again, there are many things he does that I like, but there are many things he does that there are also things he does that I don't like that I have a big problem with. Thank you, Ira Zionist, and I want to thank everybody else for a program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.